Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Because of a pricing dispute, some 35 children with a rare form of cystic fibrosis are unable currently to access life-changing drugs that have been approved for their age group by the European Medicines Agency. The drugs have been available to an older group here in Ireland, and there was an expectation that younger patients would have access to the medication once it received EMA approval. But a standoff between the drug makers and the government is leaving some families without this life-changing medication, and their children are waiting in limbo. Brian O'Connell has been looking at all of this for us and is with us now. So Brian, tell us the background here first.
Yes, good morning, Claire. The drug we're talking about here is Kaftiro. It's called Trikafta in the US, where it's produced by Boston-based company Vertex. And 35 children who we know would likely have a huge impact on their lives, they're currently not able to access this drug. Now, already in the region of 140 children with CF in Ireland who have a different genotype but are in the same age category, they are accessing the drug. The 35 children not able to get it have a particular genotype, and the standoff is whether or not they were included in a 10-year deal that was done between the HSE and the drug makers back in 2017.
Okay, and I know you got a response from the HSE on where things stand, which we'll come to in a moment, but you spoke to one family. They're pleading with the government to get them access to this drug.
Well, many people will remember the controversy and campaign around getting access to Orkambi, but this newer drug has been shown to be even more effective. And I suppose what's so frustrating for families, as you can imagine, is that fact. They know that it's going to have a huge impact. It's not cheap. Everyone recognises that, but the numbers are relatively small, so families can't see why a solution can't be found here. I spoke, for example, to Emma Fitzpatrick, and she told me about trying to get this drug for her son, James, who is 8.
We've always worked extremely hard to keep James healthy. The last 5 years with Kaftiro on the horizon, we've worked towards the goal that Kaftiro was coming. He does an hour of treatments before he goes to school in the morning. He does an hour every evening. But no matter what we do, even despite doing all that, CF is a progressive disease and nothing stops that progression in his body. Despite our best efforts, Kaftiro can stop it. And in fact, Kaftiro has been shown to reverse some of the effects. Now, obviously, the main part of that is getting it as quickly as possible into kids, as young as possible. We're not, the 35 are on nothing at all. There was nothing suitable until this stage, until Kaftiro was kind of coming along and on the horizon. This is our first drug. So this was our white horse on the horizon, our miracle drug coming down the line. So in January of this year, the EMA approval finally came through. Now, I suddenly know all these things about EMA approval and FDA approval that I never thought I'd know about. There were celebrations, like it was absolutely wonderful. We started doing all our kind of preliminary tests. So, and then suddenly out of the blue, we had a phone call saying no.
Can you explain the rationale behind that?
So the rationale, there was a pipeline deal that was done between Vertex and the HSE in 2017. So it was when Orkambi was the drug at the time that was being discussed. And at the time, this deal was done between the Vertex and HSE about the reimbursement for Orkambi and any future drugs that came down the line. Any kids that were on Orkambi would get future access to any drugs that were coming down the line as well. So at the time, we looked for clarification on that, and we were told that it was all clarified and no, it would be any kids that are persons that were eligible would get access to any drugs that were coming down the line. And we were told that was fine. So the over 12s got access about 2 years ago, maybe 18 months ago, to Kaftiro. And the over 12s that would be in the same category as the 35 kids with the different genotypes, they got access. It all went swimmingly. So, you know, everyone thought this is fine, this is all following the way it should. And then suddenly we were told, actually, someone seems to have realised there's a bit of a loophole there. And now it's all up in the air, and that we're not included in the reimbursement deal. It's all back on the table.
That's Emma there saying that it's all back on the table. And it would seem on the face of it, Brian, that this comes down to a contract issue.
Yes, and the 35 younger children are paying the price now. So previously, anyone who was 12 and over would get access to Kaftiro, including the cohort who have this genotype. So we'll come back to Emma in a few minutes, because I wanted to get an overview of the issue from Cystic Fibrosis Ireland. I spoke to Philip Watts, who's CEO of the organisation.
You know, once the European Medicine Agency gives the green light, which they have, so they have said that the group of 35 children who have been affected, they will definitely benefit from this drug. Unfortunately, this genotype group cohort were not included in the 2017 agreement. So there is now a dispute over price. And what's even more frustrating is that if these children were aged 12, they would get access to the drug. The HSE say they're sticking a premium on the price, and the company's saying, oh, it's fair, you know, what they're looking for kind of thing. We are not party to the negotiations. So basically our main message is, guys, get your act together, get back behind the negotiating table and come to an agreement which is fair to both parties, really. It's basically breaking people's human rights, really, you know.
You've seen the response the HSE has sent to me. So they've detailed a series of engagements they've had with the company, and they've gone into quite detail about their efforts to try and get a deal here.
Well, we've been here before, you know, and they said that the same time when in 2017 when we were looking for these drugs, you know. But it was only after pressure from us that they got back into negotiations and a deal was got then, you know. So it needs a willingness on both parts. And at this stage, we're asking for the minister to intervene, and we've sought a meeting with him, an urgent meeting with him, to try and knock heads together to get a deal which suits both parties and which is fair to both parties.
So, Brian, you mentioned there to Philip that you were on to the HSE and you were on to the Department of Health. What did they both say?
Well, quite a lengthy reply from the HSE on this, and they went into a lot of detail about their different engagements with the drug company on this issue. They say they're committed to providing access to as many medicines as possible from the resources available. They went on then to describe the criteria for assessing medicines. So, and they say that after this, the application for pricing and reimbursement of this group of 35 children, it remains under consideration with the HSE, but they can't make any additional comment on possible outcomes at the moment because it is an ongoing process at this time. Now, I wasn't able to get a confirmation as to whether or not the Minister for Health will meet with CF Ireland as a matter of urgency, which they are following up with today in an effort to try and get that meeting.
And in the meantime, families like the Fitzpatricks, they have to wait while all this goes on.
And as you heard, I mean, from Emma, they will have done everything they can to try and have their son James ready, but it's hugely frustrating for them now to have no certainty. They'd have no indication of when this drug may be available to them.
It's such a small number of kids. It would be very easy for them to fall through the cracks and just not be approved. And I suppose from our point of view, every day in our eyes that James doesn't get that drug is an unnecessary risk to his health.
And you will obviously have seen, because people have been on that drug in Ireland for 18 months, you'll have seen the impact it's made in their lives.
Yeah, massively. The CF community is very close in Ireland. So I have seen kids like transformed with this drug. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's far exceeding anyone's expectations.
And it comes down to cost then, obviously.
It comes down to pricing, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's purely pricing. They're actually, the 35 children, trials have shown that it actually works better in them even. So the kids who are getting it are what we call double deltas. So they have two of the same gene, which is the very common gene, the delta gene. And the 35 children are single deltas. So they have one of the very common gene and then one rarer one as well.
So what are you calling on now?
For the drug, primarily, yeah. In our hands, in, you know, as every day there's damage being done to James. No matter what I do, no matter what our best efforts are, CF is progressing in his body. Until we get that drug into him, we can't do anything to stop that. We can slow it down, but we literally can't stop it. And you never know what's around the corner. So look what we just went through for the last 2 years with COVID. You never know what he's going to catch, what could happen next week. And you feel like without that safety net of Castrio, you're just taking, it's such an unnecessary risk when it's sitting there, you know, waiting for him to get it.
It's a frightening situation for any parent to be in. How much is the drug, Brian? Do we know?
Well, it's not cheap, obviously. You'll hear figures of €100,000 per patient per year for this drug. I think part of the issue, as I said, is that the company are saying this cohort is not included in the deal that the HSE would have done. And obviously that deal would have included a cut on the price. So it does cost a significant amount to make a drug like this because it doesn't have as wide a take up, perhaps, as different types of medication. But for families like the Fitzpatricks who are waiting, they believe obviously it's a price worth paying because the difference it can make to the lives of those 35 young children is hugely transformative.
Brian, thank you very much for bringing that to us, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that drug and those families in the coming weeks. Coming up next, though, on the programme, we'll speak to a senator who had to sleep in his car because he couldn't find a hotel room in Dublin.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Join us for Hospital Live from St James's Hospital in Dublin and hospitals all over the country.
We'll go behind the headlines to meet the patients, the healthcare workers and the innovators at the cutting edge of Irish medical science.
Certainly why I do science is to offer hope. We believe that we can stop seizure activity in the brains of patients with epilepsy.
It's a blood test that can detect bloodstream infection in 15 minutes.
Hospital Live, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday at 7 on RTÉ One and RTÉ Player.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Senator Eugene Murphy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Claire, and thank you for taking me on your show.
Not at all. Delighted to talk to you. There are reports this morning about a politician who had to resort to sleeping in the car because there was no accommodation available for politicians. Now, that person in that piece is not you, but you've had to resort to that on two occasions yourself. Is that right?
That's correct, Claire. I can certainly identify with the story in the Mail today, and particularly over the last month, 6 weeks, it has been extremely difficult to get a room anywhere in the Dublin region. Just to put that into context, I was successful in getting a room one night in the last three, and in the hotel I booked, I tried to book forward for this week and next week, and they told me there was not a chance of getting a room.
Okay.
So it is a difficulty at the moment, but I can sit there. I don't want to be whinging about this because there are people in far greater difficulty out there in relation to housing. This is a matter we can get over, but it definitely is happening at the moment.
So one night in the last three. So I take it then this was a very recent situation that you faced, Eugene.
One night in the last 3 weeks. Yes, one night in the last 3 weeks. So it is something that never arose before. I'm almost 7 years in the Oireachtas between the Dáil and the Seanad. And this matter, Claire, never arose before. So it is a difficulty. And I know that a number of TDs from the rural areas and some senators seem to be affected by this as well.
Mm-hmm. Some would say, well, why don't you just drive home? Will you just explain to me what time you were finishing work?
Well, some, you know, particularly if you have a parliamentary party or if the Seanad runs late, I mean, I wouldn't get out of there before 10. Now, I'll be looking to get home in 2 hours plus, so maybe 12, shortly after 12. You get to bed around 1 and basically I would have to be up at 4 to try and beat the traffic in the morning. You have to get in before 7:30 through the city. So it's just, you know, it's difficult and it's tough. You end up, in my situation, with probably 3.5 hours sleep per night, and you definitely find on the next day that you're just not able to function as you should because of lack of sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, but you'll probably feel the same way having slept in the car. And anyone who's tried to have a rest in a car knows that it is uncomfortable. It gets cold. You don't feel particularly safe, I'm sure. I mean, what was it like?
It was very difficult. And that's when I hear of anybody out there who has to sleep in the car because of housing difficulties. It always, you know, strikes me as something absolutely appalling. But I would have got halfway down the country. I would pull in at a forecourt. You mentioned security there. At least you have the lights and you have people knocking around. So usually around Mullingar, I would pull in at a forecourt and sleep there. And just at around 5:30 in the morning, wake up, head for Dublin. I mean, you would try and shave and have a change of clothes when you got to your office, get a bit of breakfast. But I can assure you that you don't certainly feel good in the morning after such an event. And you're right. Even taking a nap in a car for a few hours and you wake up, it's not a great feeling.
So have you done that very often then? Like more than the two times you've told us about?
No, I mean, sometimes, particularly when I was a member of Dáil Éireann, Clare, on numerous occasions I would have taken a nap for an hour on the way down. Now,
that's just to break the journey, though, is it?
Just to break the journey, but even after that, you don't feel great, you know.
Yeah, but this is a different. This is different because, I mean, we should explain to people that you're a senator, you're on a good salary, a decent salary. You also get this overnight rate of €120 to stay in a hotel, but you're saying you couldn't find anywhere. Could you find anywhere for even above the 120?
Well, on a point of principle, I wouldn't actually pay over 200 for a hotel. So, to be honest with you, I wouldn't have tried the more expensive hotels. No, I wouldn't.
Okay, so once it goes to over 200, you say I'm out, I'm not paying that.
Absolutely. But I think one interesting point about all of this, Claire, you know, I would engage with people in the hotels and I find that, you know, it's not all Ukrainians that are in the hotels. There seems to be a lot of business people, tourists around at the moment, some Ukrainians, but it's certainly not in every hotel situation where Ukrainians have fully taken over. They haven't.
Do politicians not usually have a deal with the hotel? You know, the one that you'd normally stay at and you might have a booking for the Tuesday or the Thursday night that rolls over and you take it up as you need it?
No, that seems to have gone out the window.
And you've tried to do that. You've told us you've tried that.
I know this as well. It's gone out the window completely. And the prices have risen as well. But as you said, we have that overnight allowance. We're very, very, very lucky to have that. But certainly the rollover situation seems to be gone in certainly in the hotels that I used to deal with.
So the two occasions then that you did sleep in the car, were you in your car inside the gates of Leinster House?
No, I didn't ever sleep inside the gates of Leinster House. But I know somebody that did on one occasion. I did think about sleeping in my office one time, but I felt, you know, that that wouldn't be probably a proper thing to do. So you just get into your car in your head when you can't get a hotel. And if you get home, you get home. And if you're just too tired, you just, as I've done on two occasions, pulled in at Mullingar, off the bypass, at a Billen station, and you just sleep it out for a few hours and that's it.
A listener says, did you limit your search to hotels only? This person says, I can't believe there wasn't a B&B or a guest house room available, even within 10K of Leinster House, let alone a hotel. Did you widen your search beyond the immediate vicinity?
Well, I have to say, Claire, now that's a very fair question, and I didn't actually, but it's something I'm engaging in at the moment with B&Bs, and I think there may be some options there in terms of overnight stays. So this week I am engaging with B&Bs, and I would willingly stay in a B&B if one was available, absolutely.
Do you think other people, you mentioned you've heard of another person who had to sleep in the car, other people, members of the Oireachtas, having to do the same?
A small number, but as I said, we are reluctant to talk about it. We do accept that people are in very difficult housing circumstances out there, and look, whatever the difficulty and the challenge we have in this, it's very, very small compared to what other people are suffering. I wouldn't even mention this to the minister or the department. I mean, it's up to us to sort this out ourselves. We are legislators and we have to deal with housing legislation, and I don't think it would look very well to start whinging and complaining.
Yeah, but there's another side to that. You're legislators. You're doing very important work. I mean, you can't be sleeping in your car and going in then and voting on legislation and making, you know, be expected to make reasonable decisions.
Well, that's a fair comment, but I think, look, it's something that has just arisen. It's not a, I don't think it'll be an ongoing problem. I think it'll probably sort itself out in a while. I hope it will. But yeah, it is a challenge. There's no doubt about it. It is a challenge. But thankfully, it hasn't happened too often. And to the colleagues I know about, it hasn't happened too often to them either.
But maybe the €120 a night, that needs to increase, the allowance that you're given.
I wouldn't go down that road at the moment. I certainly wouldn't. I think we're fortunate to have it there. We're well looked after, but look, in the circumstances, yes, it's difficult, but look, we'll get over it.
Mm-hmm. And do you feel then that you'll be able to, as the listener suggested, widen your search and find somewhere for around the €120? You mightn't be very close to Leinster House, but at least you'll have a bed for the night.
Yeah, I think that's the one thing I pleaded with one of the hotels where they know me pretty well. I said, look, if I have a shower, clean room, if I get 4 or 5 hours, put me in anywhere, that'll do me. But that wasn't even possible. So I think, look, if I get any sort of a decent place at all, absolutely, that's fine for me.
And the hotel that you said that to, were they asking for over the €200 or did
no,
they just...
No, they had up their prices all right, but certainly weren't looking for the 200. As far as I can recall, about maybe 120, 130.
But they didn't have room.
But they didn't have a room.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A listener here says, my friend tried to get a room anywhere in Dublin on Saturday night and there was only a handful and the cheapest was €400. Another one, I'm trying to book a hotel on Wednesday night in Dublin. Of the 10 hotels showing on a popular booking site, the cheapest was €359 for a hotel or a bed in a 32-bed dorm in a hostel for €195 for two people. It's cheaper to drive to Dublin early and home again on the same day, stop for a nap at one of the service stations on the way back home. And that is maybe what you might have to look at doing, Eugene, until the prices come down.
Well, I think, Claire, that's what I will be doing. I mean, again, this week, I haven't secured a room now this week, so I will be up and down. As I said, it is challenging. But, yeah, I think I will have to do that for a while, no doubt about that.
All right, well, look,
but there's one other point, Claire, if you have just 60 seconds. I feel sorry often for families with children who have medical appointments. And because a medical appointment is very, very early in the morning, they have to head to Dublin from the country and be there for, you know, for the next morning to be at the hospital at 7:30. There's a huge cost involved in hotel for those people as well, and we shouldn't forget that.
Well, thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Fianna Fáil Senator Eugene Murphy. Let's go to the newsroom now and to Brian Jennings.